Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing you, today's entrepreneur, today's small business owner, and we do it right here for you on the Profit Express. So thanks for being on board. Thanks for listening today. Now, while you happen to be on Facebook, you can follow me in the show at the Profit Express page. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Let me know what you thought about today's show. Guests you'd love to hear on the show, I'll get them on for you. Or I'll try really hard, depending upon the guest. And of course, you can follow me and the show on Twitter at Radio Tim Healy. And again, that's at Radio Tim Healy. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing some of your time today. Now, let's face it. The educational system in America affects you and everyone listening, either directly or indirectly. Whether you have a child who's currently in school or you're a business owner, you're a manager, and you're dependent upon the current crop of students or recent grads to fill the needed spots in your workforce, the American educational system is impacting you and our economy in a big way. So how is the system doing? Well, this is the Profit Express, so the first thing I'm going to look at, let's look at the costs. The U.S. spends more than just about every other developed country in the world, and that's according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. And when you include the cost for programs after high school education, such as college or vocational training, the United States spent $15,171 in each person in the system, more than any other nation covered in the report. So that's a lot of money, most in the world. Does spending that money guarantee success? Unfortunately, not really. How do U.S. students compare? How do they stack up to their peers around the world? Well, recently released data from the International Math and Science Assessments indicate that U.S. students continue to rank around the middle of the pack in math, reading, and science, and behind many other advanced industrial nations. And this is according to the Program for International Student Assessment. Middle of the pack. I don't know. Given America's leading position in the global economy, to me, middle of the pack is not acceptable. So what is the answer? Where do we begin? Well, it's a tough question. It's not an easy question. And I think you can probably agree that there really is no one answer. So what I want to do today is to introduce you to and share a solution from a rather maybe an unlikely source. That source came from corporate America. That's right. Today's guest took her years of corporate experience as a consultant, and now she's dedicating her efforts to helping offer professional development to teachers in high poverty school districts. She witnessed firsthand how corporate America's work culture is one that thrives on motivation, on cultivation, on encouraging collaboration and problem solving, and even supporting autonomy. And all the elements that today's guests feel are unfortunately missing or lacking with teachers in our educational system in America today. And today's guest is Lynette Guastafaro, and she's the Executive Director of Teaching Matters. And after having spent years as a senior management consultant, she decided to become an elementary school teacher, which is going to make for a great story she's going to share in just a little bit, in the inner city of Baltimore. And as a teacher, Lynette recognized the isolation of teachers, the lack of collaboration, and the absence of mentoring. And other unsettling observations also include the fact that 70%, that's right, 70% of teachers, grades K through 2, have less than 3 years experience, and they suffer from a very high turnover rate, and there's certainly very limited professional development. So it's a real pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Lynette Guastafaro, the Executive Director of Teaching Matters, as we tackle the topic of a lack of professional development for teachers today, and really what's the huge negative impact it's having on your child's education and, of course, on our economy. So, Lynette, welcome aboard to the Profit Express. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Tim. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. And listen, I know I did a real big buildup for you. We kid and joke, but it's a big, as you know, the educational, yeah. You know, what's going on with it, the fact that America is in the middle of the pack. You know, when they do those assessments globally, right. That's not acceptable.
No, I agree. And I do agree that we can do better.
Listen, are we going to be first every year, every category? No, but certainly, you know, you'd want to be towards the top 10%, I'd have to imagine, top 5 or 10%, especially the fact, you know, if you look at it just from the business perspective, because this is the Profit Express, the fact that they're spending, you know, depending upon how you look at the numbers, over $15,000 per student. And mm-hmm. I think the next closest country, I think it might have been Switzerland.
Right.
I think they're one of the ones up there that are pretty high. So again, thanks for coming on board.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let me ask, you went from a position as a senior management consultant, okay? Certainly a fun, interesting job, certainly a high-pressure job, you know, no doubt, to an elementary grade school teacher in the inner city of Baltimore.
Right.
I mean, that's a sharp right turn right
there.
That's
a big pay cut.
Exactly. So what prompted that? Give us the background on that.
So, you know, when I was at PricewaterhouseCoopers at the time,
okay.
we
yep.
were focused on bringing business practices to education. There was a whole practice group. And mm-hmm. in the work, I just kept encountering teachers that would look at me and be like, and say, you know, how dare you try to fix us? You need to walk the walk. You need to understand who we are, what we do. And, you know, maybe it's a woman-to-woman thing. And I was just like, you know
right.
what? I think they're right. And so I quit my job and I became a teacher. And I started to go through the experience, the sort of transformation of what it's like to be in the corporate sector and how you experience work and what it was like to be come into the work as a second grade teacher. And it was really, really night and day from every aspect of how I was respected, rewarded, developed, mentored. My work, suddenly I was completely isolated and very few people knew what I was doing when you're in the hot spot
corporate,
at a corporate
yeah,
America,
yeah,
people yeah. are kind of, you know, they're on you constantly. People
you're having
know your
meetings.
Work. You think you don't like that, but it
right.
turns out you do, because when some of these people aren't paying attention,
right.
it's a totally different story. So
wait, so let me just go back a second. So you're working for Price, you're a management consultant, you're in the division where they're working on the educational sector.
Right.
Okay. So you're talking to your clients, you know, people
to clients and interviewing a lot of teachers. The right. teacher, of course, was never the client. It was always someone trying to fix the teachers who was the client.
Right.
And so we'd go in and we'd interview teachers, always trying to figure out how are we gonna make these teachers work better? How are we gonna
right.
fix these teachers? And I kept meeting these women that were literally giving me the eye and
the evil eye.
The evil eye and saying, like, really? Like, why are you know? And I just at some point was like, I actually think there's something I don't understand. Because I'm meeting these really great people and
right.
they're smart and I actually really like them and I connect with them and I don't understand what the problem is. So I really felt that I knew that I was going to stay in the field of education.
Mm.
I did see myself in not in the classroom. I saw myself as working to sort of fix the system. I was
right.
a management consultant.
Right.
But I decided that I just had to walk the walk for a little bit. I had
wow,
to experience
so
it.
That's rolling up your sleeves.
Yeah. You know, yeah. just like, what's the problem really? Because I'm not sure we know it, you know?
So they're kind of rolling their eyes at the consultants, which they all, you know, people roll their eyes at
as
the consultants.
As they should have.
Yeah. What does she
they
know?
They were correct.
Right. So then you go, you walk the walk, you become a elementary school teacher in Baltimore. What was the most shocking? So you were there for a couple of years as a teacher?
Can I tell you, I know this is going to sound maybe trite, but the first shock I had was trying to make copies for my class instruction, and the copies machines were broken. And if you talk to any teacher in urban, they're going to tell you the same thing. I used to have to drive a half hour to a Kinko's to make my own copies. And it was so challenging that this was the initial barrier, is that I just couldn't even get the papers copied for my kids. Now, let me tell you something. There are schools that have wonderful copy machines. I don't want to paint that as the problem.
Right.
But
it's
that's
never
an example. 100%
right.
That's just one example.
Right.
Like, here's the first system in my school that was broken.
Right.
I actually couldn't create materials for my kids. That was just the first thing I experienced. I had just come from Pricewaterhouse. You know, like, I had people making my copies, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
so suddenly I had to not only have to make them, but then the copy machine didn't work. And
yeah,
then I had to drive
Kinko's,
and I had
yeah.
to go make. So I was like,
right.
wow, okay, so take a look at this. I'm starting to understand some of the systems that may be a challenge in urban schools. Technology tends to not work. It's not that they don't have the technology, but when the technology doesn't work, there aren't the systems and structures sometimes to make sure it works. That's number one.
Right.
That's
it's there, but maybe it's not working properly. It's outdated.
And that's just a symptom. That's just one example.
Right.
And then
right.
the other piece, there are other things around how you're alone in the work, or at least at that time. That was the culture. You go in, you teach the kids, the door closed. Now, some of this has changed over the last 20 years.
Right.
I'm talking about 20 years
sure,
ago.
Sure.
And so the idea that, you know, you are in a new, this is new work for me. I was a first year teacher. Mm-hmm. Someone should have been watching me every day. I have kids learning at stake. And when I was a first year consultant at Pricewaterhouse, you can bet that I had people overlooking my work constantly and giving me feedback and telling me what if I was doing right or not. Is the client happy? Really caring about the client. And so I was sort of flying the plane alone, and that was my first experience.
So, all right, so you get your first, what grade did you teach?
I taught second grade, third grade, and then fourth grade.
Second, third, fourth, okay. So you're in there teaching, you're a brand new teacher, mm-hmm. okay? And how long, you've got the copier issues, you've got infrastructure issues, you have all these things. How long was it before you had, and again, I don't know academia, I don't know the educational system. How long was it before you had, whether it's the principal or somebody else, do one of those? Like, don't they sit in on classes?
Yes.
How long was it before that happened? Do you recall?
Yeah. And in my case, I think she came in the third month.
Third month.
Yeah, third month that they came in. Oh, no, actually, that's not true. The very first day she came in and she said, wow, this one really doesn't know what she's doing. And she went out and she said, let me go get you. I was teaching science. I had no science textbooks. And I was jumping around trying to act out the vocabulary word because we didn't. And so she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't have any books. And so she was like, let me get you some books. That was the first interaction I had in the first day of school. That was my first experience. So I don't want to paint, this is not every school, but this is an example of the kinds of things, the systems and structures that are meant to help teachers work together often are not in place, especially in urban schools.
But that's what I was getting to. So again, your focus with Teaching Matters, again, it's not all schools across all districts across the country, but you guys are obviously focusing on, I'll call it the higher at-risk kind of school districts, with the lack of resources, support, mentoring. Okay. So they gave you a textbook, and then they said, good luck, and then they came back 3 months later.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Wow. It's so funny because now you're kind of comparing it to corporate. And like you said, you probably have at least a weekly meeting.
At least.
The debriefing with the boss at the end of
the
day.
Until
you've proven yourself, So then how did you – so you go from Price – you realize education is in your blood, not that you were going to be a lifelong teacher in the classroom, but you wanted to really get a sense of what it was like in the trenches. So you became a teacher. You go through that experience for a couple of years. Then take us to the next part of the story. And again, today's guest is Lynette Guastafaro, and we're talking about the educational system in America and what our teachers are up against. So now, Teaching Matters. How did you come in contact with that group?
Teaching Matters was a sort of, at that point, a fledgling nonprofit. Mm-hmm. They were founded by Elizabeth Roden, whose husband Felix Roden saved the city in the 70s. And what she was concerned about was that teachers lacked tools like technology. Mm-hmm. While the whole world was starting to use technology to do their job, she was concerned that teachers weren't being exposed to it. So she founded the organization with that perspective. And we did that. In the beginning years, we were helping teachers to utilize technology for instruction. But
the focus was on technology at that point.
Teachers utilizing it to teach.
Right.
So it was making sure teachers were developed to understand. Because these were new tools. I mean, the internet came out and teachers were like, what do you do with the internet? I'm like, my goodness.
This is the first wave of technology in schools.
And so it would make sense. Because when I was at Price, when I was in corporate, when the new technology came out, somebody came and taught you how to use it. Or there was, at least there was tech support. But very shortly into the work, I did believe that the core problem was not lack of access to technology. That's certainly important, but what was more important was that if you look at the whole profession of teaching in the United States, you're talking about comparing us to European countries or to these other countries, it's the whole profession of teaching and how we as a country invest in it. Think about how we think about doctors and how we prepare teachers. Mm-hmm. So doctors, as you know, they go into medical residencies, they learn, but then they actually do the job supervised closely by senior doctors. You've seen on TV, right?
Sure.
All those doctors
make shows out of it. Yeah,
they
exactly.
don't have those about schools, right? When you see the teacher, she's alone, and there's some teacher who alone is saving the kids all alone, right? There's no great mentoring story. So that's because it doesn't happen, right? So what we have had to do, I'm not going to take full credit for this. This is a shift in the field that we're starting to say teachers have to go into the profession similar to the way that doctors do. They have to be mentored by other senior teachers. There has to be a period of time to be able to learn before you're actually fully responsible for the work. So what and what we do is we work with the senior leadership in the school and all the teachers to create the time and the structure so the teachers can really collaborate and work together. They do things like they use data to make decisions about how they're going to, what they're going to target for kids and not. But they don't, what we've learned is you don't use this like state test data that comes in once a year. It's like, that's an autopsy. What they need is yesterday's, what you need is yesterday's data.
Right.
Well, this is
right.
what happened last week.
What's happening in the environment live.
Right, exactly. Right now, what? How did the kids do on that math particular thing we were teaching last week? Let's look at the data. Okay, here's got this third got it, this third didn't, this third. So now we're, this is how we're going to respond. So those kinds of practices, which frankly do come out of the private sector, total quality management, all of that, this idea of using data to drive decisions and to collaborate and problem solve and be evidence-based, that's a component of what we teach teachers how to do.
All right, so as I'm hearing you describe this, and again, I'm thinking through the business owners, because I'm a consultant as well, you know, in this corporate sales arena, but as I'm hearing this, to me, there's elements of management, there's elements of communication that are just, you know, they're broken based on what you're describing. Is it almost, you know, like you said, technology is one thing, it's a tool. Tools are kind of black and white. They're easy to identify, easier to fix.
Right.
People, there's a lot of gray in people.
Absolutely.
So was it a culture in the educational system? Did you think it was more cultural?
I think
the
that,
lack of communication.
Yeah. So I think that there are schools. So why are there some, if you look at schools based on poverty, right? We can look at two schools where the kids are equally poor. One is a high flyer and the kids are doing really, really well. And there's another school where the kids are doing really, really poorly. So what's the difference in those schools? If you really go under the hood and unpack what the difference is, it starts with the leadership. It starts with the principal. It starts with how the teachers are working together in that building. It's not about the individual people in that building. You need good people. You got to get the right people on the bus. Every business owner needs, you got to get the right people on the bus.
Exactly.
But a company is more. You are the sum of your parts if you work together well. So if you have a great system, and then you don't have to have, you know, 500 rock stars. You can have good, solid folks.
No, you make it B players, good, consistent.
You can have B players and do really, really good work if the systems are in place to make things work. So that's what we do. We partner with schools, and specifically we have a particular target we're doing now, which is super exciting, which is closing the reading gap. We are seeing kids' reading move up by 50% in first and second grade in some of the highest need schools in New York. And we're doing that by ensuring that the teachers are that are there are getting really direct, specific training on the key things you have to do to teach reading, which, surprise, surprise, they come into from ed school and often don't know that. That's a whole other issue we don't have time for. then the second...
Come on, you can't bring that one up. Oh, my goodness.
Well, but again, it's like doctors. Do you think doctors know? Do they learn surgery when they're at med school, or do they learn surgery in their first couple of years in surgical residency?
True. You can't learn everything in college. You're absolutely right.
But that's the difference. So if you want teachers to be expert at teaching and reading, they have to have a period of time like doctors where they actually practice the work, where they're not fully responsible for a make or break child's first year in school. So that's what we do right now. We graduate our teachers from ed school. They've taken a reading class. And then we put them fully responsible for that first grade where if that kid doesn't learn to read, they have literally like an 80% chance of never catching up. And that's
so
what we do.
You got to catch it right away.
We should think about any business guy understands the risk reward on that is insane that you would set that up that way.
They just get swallowed up in the system.
So we should be investing more and smarter. I hear you on the money. But there's smart ways to take that money and allocate it differently. And we need experienced, trained teachers who are in first and second grade developing those kids. Your data about K-2 being where a lot of the turnover is, that's correct.
And this is the Profit Express. This is Tim Healy. Today's guest, Lynette Guastafera. She is the Executive Director of Teaching Matters. And certainly the educational system, as far as a sector in the economy, it's the second largest after healthcare, I believe, and has an impact on you. Whether it's you, your child, you have children in school right now, obviously it's an impact. If you're the business owner, if you're the manager, it's going to impact you on your talent pool, whether you're looking for high school students or recent graduates. And unfortunately, I'm not sharing any new news with you. The U.S. typically for quite some time has been in the middle of the pack globally as far as how our students rate with math, science, and reading. And yet we spend, depending upon how you look at this, some different numbers out there. A pretty recent stat I came across was over $15,000 per student in the system, which is number one in the world, yet we're probably in the middle of the pack, which is not a great ROI. Mm-hmm. And we could take this conversation. I'm not even in the educational field, obviously, but it's just such a... If we talk about the cost thing, and
let me tell you one thing on cost. Okay, so there are huge costs related to special education and transportation, and people. I don't want to get into that, but that's a real issue.
Yeah.
The second issue is we have a lot of people in education that are outside the classroom, like frankly, way too many. So I think there's too many people that are not in at least some part of their day.
When you say outside the classroom, is it administrative or?
Yeah. Okay. So at the same time, the people in the classroom work more hours. American teachers spend more time in front of kids than any other country. So do the math. We got some people in front of the kids way more than other countries, and yet we've got more people out of the classroom than other countries. So there's a distribution of people who are teaching children. That's the problem. We need to have more. We have to rethink about school so that more of the work is in front of more people are in front of kids, and there's less sort of administrative roles, and then there's people carrying the load. Now, the interesting thing, think about how we sort of everyone that's sort of been on the education reform. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's been like what you'd say was an attack on teachers, but mm-hmm. I would say it's the people in front of the kids that have been doing all the heavy lifting, and that there needs to be a rethinking of roles where you're in front of kids, but you're also leading other teachers. So you might have part of your day where you're looking at data and working with teachers, but you still have a foot in the classroom because those people know what they're doing. And that concept of teacher leadership, I think it's somewhat new in language in the field, but it's really important.
Well, it's funny because, you said how much time American teachers lead in front of students. I think I saw something recently, 1,000 hours compared to, I think it was Japan or North Korea or Korea, like half that time
exactly.
in front. And the other half is, planning or evaluation.
Preparing. By the way, that was one really big difference between the privates. So when I was a management consultant, I'd have a client. I had, time to prepare. You got to do the slide deck.
All that stuff.
All that stuff. So teachers, that slide deck, if you're doing a slide deck, that's happening on your own time. And then you might get a prep period. But the reality is teachers are expected to prepare, analyze data, do all that work pretty much on their own time. And then they're in front of children. The idea that the only time a teacher's working is when they're in front of children is another reason our system's broken. And I'm glad that Japan and these other places have figured that out. And that's why they're getting the results they're getting.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Today's guest, Lynette Guastafaro, Executive Director of Teaching Matters. If you had to deliver a State of the Union, a State of the Union on the American education system, what would you say?
I'd say that we have, I do believe that we are moving in the right direction, because I think mm-hmm. we're getting clear about the problem. In the last couple of years, we've spent a lot of time thinking that if we just measured teachers, that would fix the problem. And I think that there's a coming together mm-hmm. from the sides of, maybe the union side, from the toughest ed reformer out there. There's a convergence on the idea that we have to invest in instruction, in teachers to lead, thinking about it more like doctors. This idea that it's not just about measuring doctors, it's about investing in the best and the brightest doctors and making sure that the smart, the best people are leading the other folks.
Right.
Now, that's the shift. And by the way, that's the shift that other countries made a long time ago, which is why they're beating
us. We're behind the curve.
We're absolutely behind the curve because we haven't understood the problem.
We've identified the problems. We've done a better job identifying this is your State of the Union. We're not there fixing them yet.
We're not there fixing them.
You got some time to stick around?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is the Profit Express. This is Tim Healy. Don't go anywhere because this is a great conversation, by the way. And this isn't a typical conversation on the Profit Express, but the educational system obviously is so far-reaching that I'm glad I'm having you on.
Education leads to profit.
I like that. I like that. I can make a T-shirt out of that.